Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is in the church the baptism of the Lord Sunday. For some of you who have not been raised with the liturgy and the liturgical year, it travels a kind of path so that as soon as Christmas is over, we move back to Jesus' ministry as an adult. And so all the Gospels take us back now to John and to the Jordan River where Jesus is baptized. It brings us back to Jesus as an adult at the beginning of his ministry. We don't really know what leads him to this moment because we're not given much of that. Jesus is in a stable and the next morning he's in the Jordan. And so we travel kind of quickly, wondering what led up to this moment, not really ever knowing. Now, Jesus' baptism has been written about and debated for centuries because there are many different thoughts on why Jesus would need to be baptized. And so the church has argued, as it does so beautifully and so well, about whether or not Jesus had sin. I mean, if he didn't have sin, why does he need to be baptized? And was he trying to identify with the rest of humanity by going down to the river? Was it a sign as the beginning of his ministry? And the truth is we really don't know what led him down to that river that day. We do know that the lectionary offers us two times a year to reflect on it, right after Christmas, and then, of course, again in Lent. It is a simple and beautiful story. It is told a little bit differently in the other Gospels, but not by much. It is a story of Jesus in the water and the sky opening up, tearing apart, it says. And through God's claiming of Jesus, this veiled mystery of God has been made manifest and available to us all. Now, Karl Barth, the great theologian from quite a few years ago, said that God does not want to remain hidden in the heights of heaven, but descends to earthly life to be seen and heard by earthly creatures. That's a lovely image, isn't it? God tearing the heavens open so that God can descend and be with the earthly creatures. I don't think that God was intentionally hidden from us up until that moment, or that was the only reason for it, but it does give us a vision and an image of God entering humanity and entering into the life of Jesus, a way that the Holy Spirit enters into our human dilemma. And it is critical for the descent of the Spirit, because it is what catalyzes Jesus' public ministry. It is the story, it is the image that sets him forth. And for hundreds of years, it has helped us imagine the inbreaking of God into Jesus' life in one moment, and then Jesus into our life for all the other moments. It sent Jesus on his way to teach and to preach and to call us today from that moment at the river. And it's also, the Spirit is crucial to our tradition. We think about the Spirit as what sanctifies us. It is God's sanctifying grace, God's sanctifying presence. We often say we can feel the Spirit moving here in the church, or I felt the Spirit move in my life. A presence, an expression of the power of God among us. And I know that Jesus did not receive this moment, this presence of the Holy Spirit, so that he could enjoy some private spiritual life. This moment in God was so that he could pass it on to us, just as our baptism ties us to Jesus. Our baptism is a road. It's a road to self-denial, of losing our life in order to gain the whole world. Our own baptism, we say we are baptized in the name of God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in this story descends like a dove, and I like to think of something beautiful and precious and natural floating on the air. I collect pictures of doves. All the cards that any of you have ever sent me that have a dove on it, I still have. But I also have seen birds dive bomb. That's really actually more natural when they want to make a point, isn't it? Kind of like the heavens tore open and the Spirit of God descended like a dove on Jesus. Very different image, as the firmament is broken in half. C.S. Lewis said that for Christians, spirit is not lighter than matter, but heavier. Spirit is the real substance of God acting in creation and redemption and final reconciliation. When you think about Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, if you remember what comes next, the Spirit drives him into the desert. This is not just some romantic vision of God lighting on Jesus. The heavens broke open, the Spirit descended, and Jesus was sent out. The Spirit fills the church and then drives us from the church outside the walls to wrestle with the beasts and pray for ministering angels as we deal with our daily lives. And this image of Mark is different than many of the stories of Jesus. And the reason that it struck me as I was talking to Pastor Carey this week is that I realized that all three members of what we call the Trinity are present in this story. God is present, Jesus is present, the Spirit is present. It is a story of full participation. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice comes from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now, Mark did not know the doctrine of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is not biblical. It came much, much later. The church fathers sort of wrestled with it. And it has been a struggle theologically ever since. And I am not here to explain it to you. I'm sorry. That'll have to be a different Sunday. But I do know that I have struggled with it. And I heard a wonderful story and I asked him if I might tell it. But Jeff Hirota was camping with John Cobb, who is one of my heroes, one of my favorite theologians. And someone asked John Cobb what he thought about the Trinity, and he said three was as good a number as any. I think of that commercial, it's three mints in one. Remember that? No, probably not. I could stop showing my age, but then I wouldn't have anything to preach on. And you know, the Bible doesn't always help us with this issue because it makes them sound like they operate independently of each other. And so what are we to do with that? We keep trying to wrap our brains around what it means to think about the Trinity. Who are these three people, these three entities? And was Jesus praying to himself in the garden? I mean, that's one of the questions that is in almost every scholarly book you look at when you start looking at the Trinity. Who was Jesus praying to? Again, I don't have the answer. I think I know. But what I do know is that the full participation of the manifestations of God have informed my life. Have they informed your life? Is there a way that you have understood? And what if we do if we didn't have that full participation? I know that we all have our favorites, right? Don't we all have a favorite in the Trinity? I mean, really. You don't have to tell me which one yours is, but we all have favorites. That's okay. It's that one manifestation, that one revelation that really speaks to us personally. God, Jesus, the Spirit. But which one would you give up if you had to give one or two up? If you said, well, okay, the Trinity, I just have wrestled with it too long. I'm just going to take a stab at this and pick one. Maybe two. But three's a lot. So which one would you give up? That's actually not a rhetorical question. I want you to really kind of struggle and wonder, which one would you give up? And if you ask me, I won't tell you, but I think sometimes I could unclutter my theological mind, but then I'm at a loss because it feels like I'm driving a wedge right into the divine. I'm going to just divide it up and I'm going to pick what makes sense to me. And I know no matter how hard we try, we can't articulate the ultimate nature of God. There's so many different ways that God speaks to us in different times in our lives. God reaches out to us and is manifested in our lives. That revelation of God comes in so many, many ways. So I thought about what would happen if we tried to take one out. If God was just the creator, wouldn't that move God further away? How many of you grew up with the God who was on the throne, in the heavens, far away? Many of us. And if God was only God, wouldn't that move God more distant and further away? Far removed creator of the world who never really directly gets involved with its affairs. But if God were just the Son, the Redeemer, we would have to think of God as exactly identical to Christ, and Christ exactly identical to, guess what? Us. Human terms. And brothers and sisters, I see this happen all the time in the church. Jesus is God, and Jesus is like us, so we're like God. Limiting God in human terms. But that does answer the question who Jesus was talking to in the garden. But if God is just spirit, wouldn't that be, we think of God as merely sort of that part of the world of nature, something that's more abstract, a life force. God, Jesus, spirit. To say God is many is, of course, an understatement. And in Mark's gospel, there is a moment where there is the convergence of these three manifestations of God. And it's at Jesus' baptism. The moment where Jesus went into the water. That purifying, holy moment that set him on his way. Full participation. And John Cobb is right. Three is a good a number as any. In fact, it's a pretty darn good number. But as I say that, I remind us that you have to go home and live with the paradox that God is one. There can't be a mean God and a nice God. There can't be a God of the Old Testament and a different God for the New Testament. When we experience God in contradictory ways, it's our problem, not God's. The Trinity does, though, help bring us closer in our own human limitations to understanding some of the faces of God. John Wesley, our founder, said, "Tell me how it is that in this room there are three candles, but one light, and I will explain to you the mode of the divine existence." What we know about God is that God is in relationship with all things. The Trinity really helps us be in relationship in ways with God, for God is in relationship with us. God calls us to be the beloved, the one in whom God is well pleased. Our baptism is a way of saying, "The prevenient grace of God is present, and now I come forward, and in these manifestations of God, I dedicate my life to God." But as we struggle along attempting to understand how the divine is manifested in our lives and in our world, the mystery will remain. We will never find the answer totally, and I think that's okay, because I think to contemplate God is always a good thing. I would venture to guess that if we wanted to, we could suggest that we need the full participation so that each of us can get to know the participants a little better. So I'm going to ask for a New Year's resolution. Get to know the ones you don't know very well. I know you have your favorite, but give the other two a chance. And get to know the manifestations and the way in which God creates in our lives. And open ourselves up to a God who will always boggle our imagination. And despite all of that, will come to us always as love. Amen.